Hello to everyone out there again today. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. We are and have been doing a series on the curse and the wickedness of Islam, and this may be the concluding sermon in this particular series. We've talked a whole lot about the doctrines of Islam, about the violence in Islam, the fact that Islam is not peace, but Islam is war. Islam is deception. Islam is hatred. In fact, Islam is warmongering. They seek to destroy everything that we believe in here in America. They seek to overthrow our government and to take control of our government. They seek to destroy, finally, the Jews and the nation of Israel. And we as America need to have a foreign policy that deals with this situation like this. Israel ought to be our very best friend and also our most protected nation. We need to look out for Israel. We've got to make sure we look out for them. Because if we don't look out for them, we are under the curse of God. Because Genesis 12:3 says he'll bless them. Bless the nation of Israel, and he'll curse those that curse the nation of Israel. And I'm here to tell you that Islam is under the curse of God because of the way they treat Israel and also for their policies that seek the destruction of Israel. There is no idea at all in Islam to make a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. Any statement by the Islamics that they're want to sign a peace agreement with the nation of Israel is a lie of the devil. They have from the outset sought their destruction, and the so-called roadmap to peace that has existed under several administrations in America is a roadmap to hell, is what it really is. For those of you that are Christians, you need to check out Ezekiel 38 and 39 and take a look at the list of nations and that are there and put them on a modern map. Once you've done that, look for the most common thread among them. The nations that are identified are in the areas of Iran, Iraq, Syria, Kuwait, Oman, Bahrain, Qatar, Yemen, Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Libya, Ethiopia, and last of all, Russia. I want you to take a look at this fact. If you were to put them on a map and look at them, the common thread that runs among them is the religion of Islam. Islam is their common thread because these folks have fought one another literally for thousands of years. They fought one another. They've been in one war after another with one another, and the only thing that has united them is Islam and their universal hatred for Israel and the Jews. These all, if you take a look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, it calls out a northern confederation of nations there that will attack the nation of Israel. We are fast building toward the time when all nations will gather together against Israel. The entire world has hated the Jewish people without a cause. Since the year before the proclamation reestablishing the nation of Israel on May 14, 1948, she has had to fight at least five wars against these so-called peace-loving Islamic nations, including Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon. She's fought wars against those folks. These peace-loving Muslims attacked Israel without provocation. Their stated intent was to destroy Israel and to drive the Jewish people into the sea. In the Yom Kippur War of 1973, Israel could have taken both Damascus and Cairo, and she did not do so. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 6 says this, "In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood and like a torch of fire in a sheath, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem." Since the peace treaties that have been made over there were signed, Egypt and Jordan, Israel has constantly been under attack from the peace-loving Muslims in Lebanon, the Gaza Strip, and the West Bank, from these so-called Palestinians, and also for a terrorist group in the country of Lebanon called Hezbollah. Now, they are rooted in the old PLO, which was the Palestinian Liberation Organization, tied in with the Hezbollah in Lebanon, and Fatah, Tanzim, and Hamas in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, which are on either side of the nation of Israel. Hamas is an arm of the so-called peace-loving Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Today, there is barely a day that passes when missiles, rockets, and projectiles are not shot into Israel from these peace-loving Muslims. And you barely ever hear of it in the American media. Go and look at some of the, go online and look at some of the Middle East newspapers like the Jerusalem Post and Israel National News. You want to see some information on these attacks of the innocents that are being are taking place from these Muslim lands. They target innocent women, children, and old people. These macho, brave Muslim leaders also send their own women and children into Israel as suicide bombers. The most volatile threats today come from the Iranian Antichrist, Ahmadinejad, who is possessed of the devil. Look in that man's eyes. You want to look into hell? Look into the eyes of Ahmadinejad. He hates America and he hates Israel. And by the way, it was Ahmadinejad that was the leader of the takeover of the American embassy in Iran, where they held hostages for 440 days until President Ronald Reagan came into office and they figured they better back off. Now, Ahmadinejad hates America and he hates Israel. The Antichrist, I want you to listen to this right here. I call the United Nations Antichrist. They have routinely heaped condemnation upon the nation of Israel. Between 1967 and 1989, there were 865 UN Security Council resolutions. Of those 865 resolutions, listen at this, 526 were issued in condemnation of Israel. That is 61%. That does not include any of the figures for the last 22 years. It's not been any better in the last 22 years. The condemnation, the unjust condemnation, continues to come out of the Antichrist United Nations. We need to take that whole stinking bunch of people and kick them out of this country and have absolutely nothing to do with them. We need to pull out of the United Nations. It is an organization that is designed to cut the throat of America. Now, speaking of the nation of Israel, God said in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Based upon the word of God, I can state that the United Nations is under the curse of God. Refer back to the figures. 865 resolutions, of those, 526 were issued against the nation of Israel. That is wicked. There's no pretense of fairness in that at all. In Genesis 12:3, we have the beginnings of the Abrahamic covenant. It has four major provisions of which one concerns the land. God has promised Israel the everlasting possession of the land under the provisions of that covenant. God calls that land Canaan land, not Palestine. It's not Palestine. I repeat, it's not Palestine. There has never been a biblical land called Palestine. There has never been a biblical people called Palestinians. There is no people called Palestinians today. And you go back and you read Islamic literature, and they will plainly tell you, if you'll go and read it, that they're just using that as an issue to keep things stirred up over there with the intent of unifying the Arabs so that they can destroy the nation of Israel. It's all about the destruction of Israel. Now, God expands on this covenant through the nation of Israel in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, Genesis 13, verses 14 through 17, Genesis 15, 18, chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, chapter 28, verse 13, chapter 35, verse 12, and in Genesis chapter 48, verses 1 through 4. It is also referred to in many prophetic books. God refers to the covenant 14 times as being forever and 13 times as being everlasting. That's 27 times, folks. The covenant is an unconditional covenant, which means that it is not conditioned upon Israel's obedience. It's conditioned strictly upon the promise of God. The land, by the way, still belongs to God and to Israel. The land given to Israel under this everlasting covenant would include all the so-called Palestinian territories, all of Jordan, all of Syria, all of Lebanon, all of the Sinai Peninsula, and much of Iraq. Now, the so-called roadmap to peace is a roadmap to hell. It's a covenant with death and hell that will not stand. God will annul it. There never has been a Palestinian people nor a Palestinian land. The so-called Palestinians are devil-possessed Muslims who are children of the devil. They seek the total destruction and annihilation of Israel and all the Jewish people. These folks, including many professing Christians who are so foolish and simple-minded to believe that the confrontation between Israel and the Islamic world is about land, are so deceived. It's not about land. It's about the destruction of Israel. If you read the Islamic literature, they'll tell you that it's not about the land. It's about the destruction of Israel. It's not about peace with Israel. It's about the destruction of Israel. In fact, what they say is that peace is the destruction of Israel. That's what they say in their literature. Every time America... Let me back up for just a minute. America has been so foolish as to participate in what we perceive to be an equitable division of the land that God has exclusively given the nation of Israel. Every time we have participated in any plan to divide the land of Israel, we have come under the judgment of God. Go back and look at it. Katrina was one event associated with it. Another event that was associated with it was that oil rig that blew up down in the Gulf. The most dangerous thing any nation, and that includes America, any nation can do is to participate in the division of the land of Israel. In a preview of Armageddon, God said in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, I will also gather all nations, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. The judgment is based upon how the nations have treated Israel and the parting of the land. So anytime we participate in a process where we are talking about dividing up the land that God has given to the nation of Israel, we come under the judgment of God. And by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 25 also dealt with this particular issue. The whole Middle East false peace process is about parting the land that God has promised exclusively to the nation of Israel. That process can bring nothing but condemnation from God. And if we participate in it, we'll be judged for it. Read it again. Israel has been a victim of the onslaught of Islam for 62 years now. As a nation, America's blessings and protection rise and fall on how we treat the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. America must do everything it possibly can to protect the nation of Israel. Yet, God has promised that he would make Jerusalem both a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone to all that trouble her. God said in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, and also in verse 9, Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Do you hear that? He will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. And by the way, the book of Zechariah in chapters 12 through 14 is a run-up to Armageddon itself. Verse 9 in Zechariah chapter 12 says this, And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Has the city of Jerusalem become a burdensome stone to the nations? Yes, it is. It is the most disputed city on the face of the earth. And it will be, that particular area over there will be what brings about the events that cause Armageddon. These Middle East devils that we know as Muslims claim that Jerusalem, which is, by the way, the site of the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount, is a city of their third most holy site. Yet, listen at this, yet the city of Jerusalem is never mentioned in the Quran. I repeat, the city of Jerusalem is never mentioned in the Quran. I would to God that a salvo of missiles would hit both the Dome of the Rock and the Kaaba and blow them back into the pits of hell where they came from. Let's get into this idea of the English word of Palestine only occurs once in our Bibles, and that is in Joel chapter 3, verse 4. And in its very first mention in our Bibles, the word Palestinia or Palestine is mentioned in connection with God's judgment. Now, we see that word, the English word Palestine, spelled P-A-L-E-S-T-I-N-E, only occurs one time in the King James Bible. And the word Palestina, I believe, occurs three different times. Now, its first occurrence is in Exodus, Palestina, Exodus chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, in the Song of Moses at the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. In its first mention, it is given in the context of fear. In its last mention, it is given in the context of great fear and judgment. So anytime that Palestine comes up, it's given in the context, in the Word of God, under judgment. And Joel chapter 3 is dealing specifically with the battles that lead up to and include Armageddon. Now, in the second mention of Palestine in our Bibles, it is mentioned in relation to the Assyrian in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 through 32. The Assyrian is the Antichrist himself. Isn't it very fitting that the Assyrian should show up in the land of Palestine for his own destruction? We know that the Assyrian in Isaiah chapter 14 is a type of the Antichrist. For those of you who do not know your Bibles, or those that do know it, excuse me, you know that Isaiah 14 is also the address of Satan himself, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Palestine is, once again, is never called the land of God's people. Palestine is a land from which the enemies of God's people are driven from. Palestine is the place where the nations of the earth meet their destruction. It's never used in any other context in our Bibles. Palestine is a place of destruction. So go ahead, world, if you want to call it Palestine. That is where you'll meet your judgment for the treatment of the nation of Israel, and also, by the way, for rebelling and rejecting God. It is a result of that conduct, of your conduct. Now, Palestine, in its very last mention in our Bibles, is once again in Joel chapter 3, verse 4. It is used in connection with the judgment upon the nations of the earth for having mistreated and parted the land of the children of Israel. That goes back to Joel chapter 3, verse 2. Christians should never call the promised land Palestine. It is not Palestine. It should be called the promised land, Israel, or Judah. Now, once God's liberation army drives the Palestinian Liberation Organization out of Palestine, it will never be called Palestine again. We're well on our way to that event taking place. I believe that events in the world are fast working toward that. This so-called Palestine is also the home of the city of Jerusalem, which now, in the Bible, according to the book of Revelation, is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That's Revelation chapter 11, verse 8. Jerusalem has become a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. The good news for saved folks is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back, folks. The bad news for the lost folks is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, but he will not be coming back as the meek and lowly Savior riding upon an ass and upon the foal of an ass. He is coming back as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 16, I want to read most of this chapter for you here. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be delivered in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go forth from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And all the land shall be turned as a plain from the place from Benjamin's gate into the place of the first gate unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague. Listen at this scripture here. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Let me read this to you again. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be upon them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There is coming a day of judgment for all nations. That day is coming up. And I just read some of the details of it there in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 16. But the Bible also says in Psalm 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And all nations that forget God. I want to close out this series with an appeal to each and every Christian, especially Americans that may hear or read the words of this series. America has been blessed above all nations on the face of the earth. Yes, even above Israel, God's chosen nation. Luke 12:48 says in part, unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. Much of America's greatness in the 20th century came from the blessings and protection that we gave to the nation of Israel. Much of the judgment that has come to America from the late 20th century until this year of 2012 has come from the hand of God, because we have treated Israel unjustly and have stood by and done nothing while the ungodly nations of the world try to destroy Israel and the Jews. I want to repeat that statement. America from the late 20th century until this year of 2012 has come under judgment from the hand of God because we have treated Israel unjustly and have stood by and done nothing while the ungodly nations of the world try to destroy Israel and the Jews. Israel should be our best and most protected friend. Say it again, Israel should be our best and most protected friend. Remind you once again of what Genesis 12:3 says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." The Lord Jesus Christ went into an extended statement on talking about how the nations would be judged based upon how they treat the nation of Israel in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. And in that, two different times, he makes a statement there that the judgment of the nations will be based upon how they treat his brethren. His brethren were the Jewish people. His brethren make up the nation of Israel itself. We have been, in America, been given a godly heritage through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the providence of God. God interfered in the affairs of men to establish the greatest nation that has ever existed on the face of the earth. I am convinced that God, the Holy Ghost, guided the framers of the United States Constitution. The greatness of America was not and is not based upon economic or military power, but rather upon the righteousness of God as he indwells Bible-believing Christians through the presence and power of the Holy Ghost of God. That's where our power comes from God. Proverbs 14, verses 34 and 35 say, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame." The king's favor that is spoken of is God's favor. America is the unwise servant because we have brought open shame upon the heritage that God has entrusted to us. God gave us a warning in Jeremiah 18, verses 5 through 10, and we ought to read that. God also gave us a promise in 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If Americans will repent of their wickedness and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, God will heal our land. Furthermore, Israel should become our best and most protected friend. A repentant friend of Israel is a protected friend of God. America has a sickness unto death that can be healed through repentance. The question is will we repent? I would like nothing better than seeing Old Glory flying under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for having joined us in this series. It has been a blessing to me to be able to present this series. I pray that that you have learned something from this particular series. And thank you again for joining us in our radio broadcast. And we pray that God will richly bless you.